Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
From London, this is The Standard Podcast and I'm Mark Blunden. Mayor Sadiq Khan started his week in hot water over river safety after his manifesto stated he planned to make the capital's waterways, including the Thames, so clean they would be swimmable within a decade. But the Port of London Authority, along with the RNLI and Met Police, every year deals with numerous drownings, often after a swimmer gets into distress. So swimming there is restricted by the PLA, which states the current will overpower even the strongest swimmers. The incumbent Labour candidate's swimmable manifesto makes no mentions of the safety aspect as it focused on cleaning up the capital's waterways following a fivefold increase in the amount of sewage being dumped into the Thames. That's 72 billion litres of sewage discharges since 2020. According to data from the Liberal Democrats, it was later suggested the plan could include designated swimming areas in the Thames, Wandle and Lee rivers, but Khan's team said when contacted that he would never recommend swimming somewhere that is unsafe to do so. At the same time, brace yourself for more bad news on your utility bills in this cost of living crisis, as Thames Water, which is battling a financial black hole, has warned our payments are set to rocket by almost half. We'll have more on that in part two. But first, I'm joined by former lifeguard Brendan Prince, who's founder of Above Water, a water safety and drowning awareness charity. What's your reaction to the mayor's suggestion of a swimmable Thames?
Do you know what? Many sort of facets really on this, in that I admire the aim, but it's a very romantic aim. And we kind of make the assumption that as an island nation, all our waterways are almost Disney-esque in the way that how inviting and beautiful they are. Well, actually, the reality of that is not the case. And also, yet again, we're encouraging blue space, but we're not giving anybody the kind of tools to be able to be safe to engage in that blue space. So for children, especially even more so after COVID, we have this situation where we are finding in our work within schools that at least 50% of schools aren't teaching swimming because there aren't the resources to do that. You've got an 80% better chance of survival if you can swim. And of course, we're finding that with 50% schools not teaching swimming, this is a disaster waiting to happen. And that would coincide brilliantly with Sadiq Khan saying that, you know, we can all just go and jump in the Thames and enjoy ourselves. Well, the reality of that is we're not giving our children, who will become adults, the tools, understanding and knowledge to be safe in and around water.
What are the risks of attempting to swim in the murky water of the Thames?
That's where the unknown elements are. You know, what are you jumping into? Is there mud? Is there objects? Does it make it easy to get out or does it make it incredibly hard to get out? And you only need, again, one of those elements to trigger that panic situation. And also the Thames water. It's colder than the sea. So, you know, it's understanding the effects of cold water happen within seconds, absolute seconds. And that is the situation that you think, well, actually, I'm only jumping in and getting out again. Cold water shock won't affect me. But often the reason why you're jumping in, especially on a warm summer's day in London, you think, I'm just going to jump in. That water probably is still below the sort of 15 degrees threshold that classes it as cold water. And of course, you're warm because you've been running or you've been in the sunshine sunbathing. And the effect on the body, you know, is almost the same as sticking your finger in a plug socket. You know, the shock is dramatic and your body can't cope with it. And that's why it shuts down. And that's why you're gasping for breath. Your arms and legs don't actually work. Your arms and legs actually come into the body. So you almost roll up into a ball for seconds. And in those seconds, obviously you can't swim and you can't breathe because you're gasping in the water. And that's drowning right there. And that can happen in seconds.
And also, isn't there the issue with the buoyancy difference compared with salt water?
We find that massively in that, you know, I do everything. I'm living on the coast and taking children in the coastal waters. It's so much more buoyant than fresh water. And if you're not used to fresh water, and let's say you have grown up around the coast and suddenly you're immersed in fresh water, the difference is dramatic. And that dramatic difference can be one of the triggers for panic. And as I say, panic is a big killer in this situation. And it's all about understanding to reduce that panic.
What's your advice if we spot someone in trouble in the water?
It's really important to do something because those initial moments can be the difference. So if you see someone struggling in water, actually shout to them. So they've got a point of contact so they can see you, they can hear you. Encourage them because, as I said, if they're panicking, all the rationale, all the common sense goes out the window. So tell them the simple things like, can you float on your back? Floating on your back gives you time then to actually think about how you can exit. So shout at them to float on their back. Then potentially you can reach and rescue. Of course, you're going to be trying to ring 999. And if you're at the coast, make sure you ask for the Coast Guard. And if you're inland, so on the Thames, you'll be shouting for fire and rescue. So you've initiated them getting out, an exit strategy for them. But shouting, you know, I mean, this is where my lifeguard stuff comes in. Shouting, encouraging them, speaking to them is the first point because they won't know. They could be 5 foot from the side and you would think, well, surely they're going to get out. But all common sense goes out the window. So you're shouting to them, float on your back, talk to them, find an exit place for them to get out and talk them through it, shout it through to them. If you can throw something for them to obviously use a buoyancy, brilliant. If you can reach safely to help with something, then that's brilliant. If not, keep the comms going with them, talk to them, obviously while somebody else is ringing 999 for you to get the emergency services there.
Let's go to the ads coming up. How much can you expect your water bill to shoot up by? Why don't you hit follow in the meantime? Give us a rating.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back. Now we're joined in the newsroom by Evening Standard business editor Jonathan Prynne. And it's not great news for your water bill with Thames Water desperately trying to claw itself out of that financial black hole. Jonathan, what's the current financial situation for Thames Water?
Thames Water needs the investment on the one hand to upgrade its rather ancient infrastructure to stop so much filthy water going into the rivers and so on, which everyone wants. But they need extra capital to do that. The shareholders are currently saying, well, we don't believe that Thames Water is a viable investment proposition without bills going up very, very markedly. So it's a bit of a catch-22 that Thames Water can't get the extra money in without putting bills up. And of course, no one wants those bills to go up. And as you say, it does seem rather unfair.
What can we expect with our water bills in the future?
The company has been struggling with a huge amount of debt that it's built up over recent years and is today telling consumers that to pay for any improvements in water quality and the level of environmental harm and so on, and sewage outflows and all that stuff that people feel really strongly about, bills are going to have to go up by at least 40% over the coming 5 years, up to 2029, 2030, and possibly as much as 44%. Now, if they do 44%, that will be almost £200 a year more on your bills within 5 years, and obviously no one likes that.
What's Thames Water's ownership model after it was sold off?
It's been a checkered history since privatisation at the end of the 80s. Thames Water started off as a quoted company on the stock market, but bought out by a German company a few years later. And it's been an increasingly kind of complex picture ever since. It's currently owned by 8 major pension funds, mainly from all over the world, Canada, China, a variety of different long-term investors. But the ownership of Thames Water has become very complicated. Lots of sort of different holding companies. At one stage, one of the holding companies was based in the Cayman Islands. Admittedly, it isn't anymore, but I don't think most people would think that, you know, a company that's basically, you know, has a simple purpose, making sure that water comes out of your taps at one end and making sure that the wastewater gets taken away and treated in a responsible way at the other end, should end up being owned in this incredibly complex sort of financially engineered structure. It just doesn't feel right.
Finally, on the mayoral election, you wrote last week about the mayor and his Conservative rival Susan Hall pulling out of the business-focused hustings. What was the reason and what was the reaction?
Yeah, I mean, the business community are really fed up about this, really fed up. They thought they had an arrangement that has been honoured in previous mayoral elections, that the main candidates, not just the Labour and the Tories, but the Greens and the Lib Dems, would all come and explain themselves. Business has obviously been through a really hard few years since the last election with the pandemic and cost of living crisis, inflation, etc., etc. My understanding is that a couple of weeks before the hustings was due to take place, Susan Hall's team rang up and said they no longer wanted to do it. And when Sadiq Khan's team learned about this, they said, well, there's no point in us doing it anymore. And they pulled out as well. And then once they'd gone, I think the business organisations that had organised the hustings decided it wasn't worth carrying on with, and they canned the whole thing. And they're really upset about this and feel that it's disrespectful to the business community in London. So, yeah, not a good state of affairs.
Thames Water said in a statement, the company regards all discharges as unacceptable and taking action to improve the health of rivers is a key focus. And on those bill hikes, what they describe as an ambitious plan proposes a total expenditure of £18.7 billion to meet our customers' priorities, which include maintaining safe, high-quality drinking water. There's more on these stories in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back on Tuesday at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.